Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
You're listening to a Rare Drop podcast. Check us out at raredrop.co.
Your coffee is freshly roasted and ethically sourced. It's music to your ears. Shake up the way you wake up at kingscoastcoffee.com.
Welcome to episode 161 of Star Wars and Scotch. It's Tim, it's Kevin. We're back and it's Bad Batch Season 3, the final season has arrived.
There were three episodes.
Which were good.
Yeah, they were all good. Really good.
We'll get into it in a bit. That'll be the topic of the entire episode. So, God bless you, Tim.
Thank you.
But
wow, my allergies. Okay, so you can hear it in my voice. My allergies are terrible. I've never had bad allergies before, ever.
It's the weather, and
oh my God, my nose is always just runny and sucks.
I had a viral. The reason we didn't record last week is because I had something viral. Sinus thing from
Kevin caught something from Vegas.
Yeah, not syphilis.
I told him to stop licking the sidewalks. They taste like gold.
Sidewalks. Why would I go outside when the place that I was staying was connected to the place that I had all my meetings and events at? Why leave?
Oh, that's convenient. Oh, that's so convenient.
No, it wasn't. I had to go outside just to breathe fresh air for 10 minutes.
Oh.
I hate Vegas. I'm sorry if you live there, but I hate your city.
I'm sure a lot of people who live in Vegas, they like Vegas because they live outside of it.
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole...
It's like Tampa. It's like, I love living in Tampa, but I don't live in downtown Tampa.
Yeah, there's a whole suburban area, and I'm sure it's lovely, but I didn't go there. I stayed at the Luxor. Gross. And I went
to... Is that the one with the big pyramid? Is that the big pyramid?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. The Bass Pro Shop.
No, that's Memphis.
Yeah, but that's what I think of now. Anytime I see
any pyramid is Bass Pro Shop.
I just think of Bass Pro Shop now. It's like, that's where we've come as a civilization. You know, you've got the great pyramids in Giza, and instead we wanted to replicate them and turn them into a Bass Pro Shop in Memphis, Tennessee.
I'm going to request that we go to... I haven't been there in years. I would like to go when we're at Summit this year.
Yeah, sure. We could just say we need like a cooler or something.
If you don't know what we're talking about, Bass Pro Shop. Downtown Memphis, I believe it's right on the border of whatever state is next to them. Is it Alabama, Arkansas? I don't know. Something over there.
I don't know. It's one of them.
Rex gets mad when I don't know where Arkansas is on a map, so I'm not going to pretend to. He's like, bro, no, nowhere near there. Yeah, there's this huge pyramid that used to be the arena that the Memphis basketball team played in, and it got turned into a Bass Pro Shop. Not just any Bass Pro Shop. Apparently, there's a hotel in there.
It's the world's largest Bass Pro Shop.
A restaurant. There is a full pond, like, ecosystem they got going on there. I believe that's the one that the guy jumped into naked and then got out, and he had such small shrinkage that no one could see his pee-pee.
Aw, it was chilly.
Yeah, it looked like he had nothing going on down there.
It was a Ken doll.
Exactly. So, I believe it was that one. I'm not 100% sure, though. But If it didn't happen there, it definitely happened in Florida. But yeah, that's what we're talking about. Yeah, I stayed at the Luxor, and then the Madden Bowl was at Mandalay Bay, and the meetings I had were at Mandalay Bay. So it, there's just a walkway between the two. The gym didn't open till 8 a.m. Pacific, which is 11 a.m. for me because I stayed on Eastern time while I was there. What the fuck? And it was $50 to go to the gym. So I just walked a lot. And
was there a complimentary breakfast, though?
No.
Oh.
No. No.
Hey, whoa, hold on. They made you, we're going to have you spend $50 to work out in their gym that didn't open till 8 o'clock?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of bougie-ass gym is that?
It's like the casino's open all night, but the gym? No, God forbid you're healthy.
Right.
If you kept us healthy, we'd gamble more. Just saying.
Huh.
Just saying.
Is it true?
No.
Do you think there's like a ratio to like six-packs to money expenditure on at a table?
No. No? The only thing I know is the reason there's no windows in a casino is because they don't want you to see when the sun goes up and the sun goes down. That's it.
Yep.
So, but yeah, it was gross, and I hope I never have to go back to Vegas. I'm sure I'll have to, but if I can avoid it, I'm going to try. So,
anyways,
Madden Bowl was a great time, though. What a fun event. Very quick, but then there was a concert afterwards with Big Boy and Killer Mike.
Green Day.
Green Day. I didn't stay for Green Day. Tim's mad at me for that. It was like 3 a.m. for me, and I'm not the biggest
Green Day fan. You could have been an American Idiot.
I'm not a Green Day fan. Like,
because you're not part of a redneck agenda.
Everything was downhill after Dookie for me, so.
If you just listen to the propaganda.
But Killer Mike.
Say hello to the Age of Paranoia, dude.
Seeing Killer Mike was awesome. He's bigger in person, too. But yeah, it was a fun event. It was cool. The kid who won is a 7-time Madden champion. He is 20 years old and is now being called the Madden Millionaire because he's made over $1 million in winnings playing Madden.
That's cool. Good for that kid.
At 20.
Nice.
At 20. His mom was on the stage doing this because she was so proud. It was very cute.
Can't wait to see where he's at in 5 years.
I hope he's still kicking ass and playing Madden and making money. That's what I hope.
Hope he doesn't turn into like one of those like degenerate 20-year-old millionaires that's ended up in a box somewhere.
Yeah, I hope he doesn't like...
What happened to you? I used to play Madden for a living.
I hope not. He was a very nice kid. but it was a fun event. They had a good crowd there. It was like 150 people that actually like cared, and tight game up until the middle of the fourth quarter, man, and then one pick ended it all. So it was a fun watch and a good time.
Good.
But enough about Vegas.
Yeah.
The thing I didn't have when I was in Vegas, Tim, was King's Coast Coffee.
Oh yeah. Yeah, it's pretty hard to get King's Coast Coffee out into Las Vegas unless you order online at kingscoastcoffee.com, where no matter where you are in these 50 states, you could.
Or Canada.
Do we send out to the... We also send out to military P.O. boxes as well, in case you were wondering. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have been asking, do you send to the military mailboxes? Yes, we do. APOs? I think they're called APOs. Yeah, we do. So head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com. You can get yourself... we got the Winter Wave still in effect right now. Mm-hmm. That's our seasonal roast for wintertime. The Darkness Blend, Go Carnage Roast, many out there. Dr. Lupo Lifeline, get it today. Head over to kingscoastcoffee.com. I actually had a guy over at the gym. His name's Tony.
Tony.
And he's a big coffee snob. He only orders Kona coffee from Hawaii. Like, that's the kind of guy we're dealing with here, okay? Only drinks Kona, like, from Hawaii. Like, we're not talking about the watered-down stuff from like, TJ Maxx, where it's like, look, you can get Kona coffee. It's like, no, it's not Kona coffee, please. So I gave him Aztec and our Bow Breaker, our espresso roast. He liked Aztec. He's like, you know, I really like, I'm more of a bold kind of guy, but this is nice. I was like, yeah, it's more of like an anytime kind of coffee.
Easy
you
drink.
Could have that in the morning. You could have it in the afternoon. You could have it, at, you know, after dinner. Aztec, it just goes down smooth anytime. But Bow Breaker is by far my favorite espresso roast, and he loved it. He loved it so much, he was like, where can I get this in Tampa? I was like, dude, you can't. You have to go to the website. He's like, okay, I'm going to go to the website. So he ordered himself some more Bow Breakers. So there you go. Be like Tony. Head on over to kingscoastcoffee.com and get yourself some King's Coast today.
Man, maybe we do need to... We should really think about getting a place in Tampa, Tim. That'd be such a good idea, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it'd be crazy. You know, wouldn't it be nice if we had a place where you could go in Tampa Bay, Florida to get yourself freshly roasted King's Coast coffee, but you could also get a drink from the cafe. You know, that sounds lovely, doesn't it? You know, maybe scoop up some ice cream from our friends at Bright Ice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe buy a shirt from Lab 77. And maybe you even see a podcast going down being recorded by Tim and Kevin. Who knows? You know, the possibilities are endless. So if anyone's listening that's got a couple dollars, and I'm talking like five, like more than a thousand, all right? You got some investment money you want to throw towards King's Coast Coffee and open up a cafe in Tampa Bay, Florida, send us an email. We'd love to talk to you.
In before a guy says, I have $10, what will that get me?
I have $10. Will that help?
Honestly, crowdfunding might be the way to go, Kevin. You know, just like Danny Thomas says, I'd rather have a million people give me a dollar.
The thing Pete sent was interesting, so we can look at that, what that other company is doing. So
look at that. Look at that.
Maybe we will crowdfund investment. It's an interesting concept in a new world to crowdfund investment. So I think part of the issue is I have to wrap my head around understanding it. But, I mean, you got to move forward. It's 2024.
Kevin, my career has been crowdfunded by people for 10 years. So, you know, I'm okay with it.
That is a fair assessment.
I mean, that's what it is. If you look at it, the streamer industry is just one massive crowdfunding.
Yeah, you're not wrong. That is a very interesting take. Yeah. I'm in my 40s. I got to adjust. It takes me a little more time to adjust.
All right. Well, while you're adjusting, one last sales pitch for you. GCXevent.com. Get your GCX tickets. It's weird to say that you need to get them, but it's a great time to get them. We're going to have more announcements coming up soon. We're starting to announce. We put up our advertisement for content creators to come get to apply for their badges. So if you are a content creator and you're listening, whether you are a content creator in the video game space or you do beauty or you do clothes, you do whatever, music, whatever it is. If you consider yourself a content creator, we'd love to have you. Head on over to gcxevent.com and apply today to get your creator badge. We've got media badges as well. So if you're a media syndication, if you're a podcast, if you're anything like that, head on over to gcxevent.com. We'd love to have you produce your show at our event. We'd love to have that. We'd love to facilitate that for you in some certain way. So let's talk. Head on over to gcxevent.com.
Exhibitors as well. If you're interested in joining us on the floor and showing off your product, your game, your technology, whatever it may be, that's open as well. So get it while it's hot, because once the announcements start rolling out, everyone comes out of the woodwork and the floor fills up very quickly. So gcxevent.com. I had a meeting yesterday with somebody from Boston whom I love dearly. So the Boston accent is fresh in my head. Cool. Well, they went right for it today in the beginning of Bad Batch. It's hard to remember what was from what episode because it connected very nicely across all three episodes.
Oh, you're talking about the intro where they kind of give you everything?
Yeah, I mean it
a roundup too.
It was, you know, they did a good job of showcasing the time lapse. One thing I did want to say right out of the gate is thank you, Dave, for bringing Ian McDiarmid back to do the voice of Palpatine, because...
Oh, we're going all over the place, okay.
Well, we've tried Palpatine many different ways in animated, and there's just something so sinister and evil when it's actually his voice.
Yeah, I think he's... We've had a few people try to emulate and replicate, but we've never really, like, nailed it until... actually bringing him back to do the voices. I'm glad that we have the ability to really wrap him back into the show, because it builds, like you said, it smooths out that transition from live action to animated and back again. And if you keep that consistency with the voices, because at some point in Clone Wars you have Tim Curry come in, mm-hmm. and he's the Emperor, and it's just,
yeah, it's the dark side,
doesn't work, you know. It's just like, it's like, it's okay, but every time I think of that, I hear Home Alone 2 Tim Curry. Yeah, I love you, sir. You know, it's just weird.
A cheese, you know, pizza. Compliments of the Plaza Hotel.
Oh, man. I love Tim Curry. I absolutely love Tim Curry. But in my eyes, he's always like, he's Long John Silver from the Muppets Treasure Island, or he's the guy over at the hotel desk.
Yeah.
But now that we have Ian McDiarmid back, it's just, oh, my God, it's just... Project Necromancer, you know,
it's the voice and the combination, the animation, it's evil. Like, it is, he's
very
straight up evil. And for some reason, Ian McDiarmid needs to do that voice, or someone that does other voice. What's funny is too, is in the scene with the Deveronian, the one they saved in season two, and the Pike, I just finished watching Legend of Vox Machina, which is the Critical Role animated series of their D&D campaign. So all those voice actors, there's like four of them in that one scene.
Oh, really?
So their voices like were like, oh wow.
That's
so and so from Critical, from Vox Machina. It was just funny to hear them all in that one scene. Because I know they do voices across all Star Wars animation, but it was funny.
Speaking of the Deveronians, that was a really cool POI.
Yeah.
I really, really liked that syndicate hideout or like castle or whatever that was.
Yeah.
That was really, really neat to see because I forget how much like tieflings Deveronians really look. Mm-hmm. And like, I like that they kind of have that, like that high fantasy, like feel about that building. It definitely felt like it came out of like a fairy tale almost, like just the architecture and even the symbol, like the symbols that they had like on the walls and whatnot was just very just high fantasy. And I really liked that.
Yeah, they were, and the way they didn't look, you know, like every other Deveronian we've seen in games and movies.
They usually look like, they almost look like little devils. They look like almost like Satans.
Yeah,
you know, and like, they're always red. They always have like the long curly horns and the sharp teeth and like fingernail. Like they look like demons. But these, they looked more like, she looked like a high elf. She looked like a dark elf.
Yeah, like purple.
And I thought that was really purple. Cool. Like that bluish dark color, and like her horns were different colors, and she was really pretty.
They're also coming from the front instead of the sides, so it was more like a satyr style thing instead of
that's why I kept, like, it really felt tiefling, and I like that because every time we've seen a Deveronian, they're like, they're really big, they're chunky, like what's his face, who's the Clancy Brown.
Oh yeah,
when he's a Deveronian, he's just,
he's a fun one. He's Mr. Star Wars. I think he's played three roles now in Star Wars.
And Mr. Krabs, and I just can't unhear it.
A Krabby Patty.
Every time.
Money!
SpongeBob!
That whole thing was interesting. But going back to the beginning, and the time lapse and the aging for Omega, they did a really good job of showcasing how long she truly was there.
Months.
It was interesting to see, I would say a year at least. She aged.
I wanted to go back and look at it, but I was like, man, is this years? And it was all in days of five. I need to go back and count it, but it could have been a year. It wasn't multiple years, but I mean, it was many months, maybe a full year. I need to go back and count it. It also depends on the rotations and everything else of that planet.
Yeah. And I mean, well, look at how old the ship was when she went to retrieve the ship. Like, it was rusting.
It had been there for a bit. It had
been there for at least a few months, if not a year or so. But it was the mundane aspect of, you know, her daily loop and Nala Se. The fact that Nala Se could get away with hiding her blood for that long, too, was wild to me.
She just kept deleting the sample, which I thought was cool.
And no one ever picked
up. I would have yelled that this was a filler episode in the sense of like just like what happened, but I really enjoyed the buildup because it really helped you understand like all of the time that was burnt by Nala Se trying to keep Omega safe.
And to
jump to the end of episode three, we were right. And I want to make a callback to when we first started doing these episodes for Bad Batch, and it was like the first or second episode, and I told you, Kevin, I think she's force sensitive. There's something different about her. And come to find out, we know that she, and we've been saying this for a while, is that she is the key to the program of the Emperor coming back.
Which leads into Mandalorian and Grogu.
Project Necromancer. If I was a betting man, I would put a lot of money on Necromancer is not the Death Trooper program. It is 100% the Emperor building himself up. And we know that in Mandalorian, we know that that was a continuation. And we know that Moff Gideon even had like his own like division of this. Potentially, we think he might be a clone himself. We also know like how power hungry Moff Gideon was. And so that would have been a perfect time for him to take over Project Necromancer because no one else was running it at the time. So I think it's very, very interesting. I think it's really, really cool that we know that Omega was somehow made in a way that she is force sensitive, that she is actually able to commune with the force as a clone, which goes against everything that we've been talking about, you know, for a while. We're like, it's got to be an inherited thing. Like, we really don't have a true understanding of the M count. So now knowing that it can be genetically engineered, that opens up the whole EU franchise, Dora, because there was a lot of cloning that happened in the EU, right?
I'm not
knowledgeable in EU lore, so I don't know as much. But at one point, we cloned Luke
from his hand. Yeah,
yeah, from his hand. The Emperor has a bunch of clones. Like so now that we are openly talking about, you know, cloning more than just the clones, we are making force sensitive clones. The idea of having these Jedi hunters that could, what if they're clones?
The
possibility is just endless now, I think.
Well, keep in mind, midichlorians are in all living beings. So all they were trying to do in the experiments was get the midichlorians to essentially transfer from
to a point where the M count was able to, the subject is able to commune with the Force in a way that is noticeable, right? You are in tune with it. You are sensitive to it.
So obviously, Project Necromancer, we know already that was invented to, it's what Snoke is a byproduct of.
Correct. He is a failed clone.
Yes. So we understand all of that. Moff Gideon took it over. I don't think the Death Trooper thing is off the board, because what if the byproduct of the failure of it leads to necrosis or something? And Hemlock's like, well, we can still use them.
Sure.
You know, like that.
Look at all the clones that they're working on. You know, look how rough Crosshair looks. You know, I mean, like all he even says that if you make me Ministry of Science, the Minister of Science, I will take over all the science divisions. You know, yeah, there. Who knows? I mean, I would love to see him become the Minister of Science, because then you start getting more of these unhinged projects. Look at the Vine Beast. The Vine Beast is a cross of vines and a Sarlacc.
Yeah,
it is. That is literally a Sarlacc. Like there is no way around it. That was a Sarlacc and some type of vine, and then they made a bioweapon.
I love how they bombed it and it didn't kill it.
Well, they dropped one grenade in it. It was like,
no, I'm in the Empire. Like the Empire was trying to
Empire bombing. Yeah.
The evidence. They carpet bombed it and it did not work.
Well, I think what they did is I think they blew up the facility, and then they let the vine beasts were there to just kind of, they let it freely grow over it so that no one could ever get back in there. It's a wild thing. I mean, like it makes sense though, because what was the Hulk beast? Was it the What was the Luca beast? What was the big thing that they took over I don't remember what it was called.
Keep talking.
It's not a Tyrannifex. That's freaking Tyranids. But I mean, like the idea of them experimenting on animals, Zilla beast,
Zillow.
So if they were already experimenting on, you know, creatures like that, who's to say they weren't taking things like Sarlaccs, or they were taking, you know, other large monstrous things and crossbreeding them, making these chimeras.
We know that the Emperor didn't want the Zillow beast to control it. He wanted to create things he could control from the DNA of the Zillow beast.
Right.
That was the whole point of it. He wasn't trying to control that Zillow beast. So
right.
Your hypothesis is correct. Like, how many other incredible beasts from around the galaxy have they been experimenting on? I mean, you could even go as far as to say that the monster in A New Hope in the garbage compactor is a byproduct of Hemlock's experiments.
I was honestly thinking that same thing. I was like, is this the trash compactor monster? Until its mouth came out, and I was like, no, there's no way that thing would fit inside. But the little babies, you know, what if one of those things got inside the trash compactor? But we already have, like, there's already a Wikipedia about the trash compactor monster and like where it comes
Dianoga.
From. Yeah, those things, they latch onto. They find their way into garbage compactors, into like the underbellies of ships, and they live there. They just feed off the trash and stuff. So,
but it could be fun to say, like, oh, well, it could Hemlock be really fun. Like, it could have
been
one.
Exactly. It could have been a byproduct. They're like, oh, we need to find a more natural way to get rid of our trash. Like, let's make a monster that'll eat it. You know, it could totally happen.
I still can't get over the fact every time Hemlock speaks, I'm like, you're a McPoyle. How is that even close to possible? So good. I kind of knew that Omega was the key to Project Necromancer.
I think we all did.
Once
I think there was
chucking it away. And then they did a really good job in the third episode of the centrifuge just clicking every so often.
Oh, just like, yeah, and the tick. Yeah.
It was your timer.
The timer clicking down. Yeah, exactly.
You know, also, Crosshair's is without the sibling. Sexual aspect, he's becoming my Jamie Lannister of the show, where one minute I can't stand him, and the next minute I'm rooting him on.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because, you know, he's trying to be mean to her to get her away so she'll stop, right. So she'll get away.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like he opened this. He was like almost annoyed that she opened the cell, but he knew he had to spring into action and take them down. Also,
because I think he just wanted to be left because he was over it. Like, I think he was sitting in his own poop. You know, he's like, this is the mess I've made. And like, what's the point?
I don't think face his brothers.
He doesn't. Yeah, exactly. That's the whole thing is like he's made this massive mess. And he feels bad about it, you know, and there's only so much that he could do. You know, like he turned, you know, it just like it's rough, you know, it's hard. He felt like that was, you know, his actions in the cell are his penance, you know, like this is his penance. You know, I'm going to die here to make up to atone for my sins, mm-hmm. to make up for it all.
Also, Echo's coming back with Rex when he comes back.
Yeah.
100%. Because Rex is in the trailer. So I would assume that. Mm-hmm. Echo is coming, maybe with Asajj. Did you finish Dark Disciple?
I've got an hour left. It's so good.
It's
Kevin,
a very good Kevin, book.
Kevin, it is by far one of my favorite Star Wars stories right now. Quinlan and Ventress, holy shit, power couple. They didn't know I needed that, but like those two together.
Well, I'm in a place where they're
awesome.
I'm up to a part where they're not in a good place right now, so
I
only have a few more hours left.
Okay. This book's been out for a while. Where are you at?
He's back at. They just got back to the Jedi Temple, and
Asajj is,
and I don't trust him either. I'm with Asajj. I'm like, ew.
Oh man, yeah. It's wild. It's some good stuff. I'm really really curious to see when Ventress comes in with Quinlan, and how long does that last for.
We don't know Quinlan's going to be in this, though. We saw Ventress. We don't know if Quinlan's going to be in.
Well, I mean, we assume they're together.
Fair.
The assumption is that they're together, right? The assumption is that Quinlan survives all of this because Obi-Wan.
Yeah, he sees his name in the thing.
He uses his name. So we know that Quinlan is still alive to a certain degree in a future point, because Bad Batch happens before Obi-Wan. So we know Quinlan... Ish, yeah. So we know that Quinlan at least survives to a certain point. I want to know more about him and like what's going on there.
Yeah,
because I haven't gotten to the end. But this book it takes place before Episode 3, because Dooku is still very much so alive.
Bad Batch is probably a few, not too far up, but probably a few years before Obi-Wan. Depending on where we are now,
100%.
Though, I don't know where we are now with her a little older.
She's only like a year older, if anything. So I still think that there is still some time between. I have
six
to look
or seven
at the,
years
the,
then.
I have to look at the timeline and when. I don't know if we have exact dates. But yeah. Anyways, I love this. I love Ventress. I've really come to enjoy her as a character because she's always been like she was always a fun bad guy. She was always that great henchman, but now I think what Dave did with the writing for her really allows her to become a very memorable, like she was already a memorable character within the Star Wars franchise. But I think now with this story and seeing more of what she's went through and getting more of her backstory, I didn't know a lot about Ventress. I didn't know that she was a Jedi Padawan. I didn't know that she got brought up in the ways of the Jedi and then she felt betrayed by the Jedi. I didn't know all that. And that is so cool to learn more about her. So I love it. She's more of a real person to me because I now know more of her backstory. And now seeing her struggle post the genocide of the Night Sisters on Dathomir, knowing more about that and the stuff that she went through, like she depicts the pain and suffering that she went through of being unable to bury the dead. Because the Night Sisters have a way, like you would see in Jedi, we saw it in Clone Wars, you see it in Jedi Fallen Order, you see that they get put in these sacks. And like hearing why they put them in the sacks is honestly very beautiful. It's their way of keeping them in the world of the living while still giving them a peaceful rest as being dead. And so they live in this in-between world. They live in this fluid that allows them to be suspended for the rest of their days. You know, on the planet. And I think that's really, really beautiful to me. It's almost kind of like Native American in a sense of like really honoring your dead and like, you know, keeping them with you. It's cool. It's beautiful. And it really brings home that entire scene of Jedi Fallen Order when you're fighting with Malak and, you know, they're all like coming out. It's really cool.
Yeah. learning more about her has been interesting. Learning a little bit more about Quinlan, too, along the way.
Oh, Quinlan? Yeah.
Uh-huh. So I'm glad I read this book. I'd never heard of it before you mentioned it. And everyone's like, oh, my God, it's such a good book. Oh, my God, it's such a good book. So I'm happy I'm reading it because it's been a very informative piece. And it's a nice little Anakin's funny. He's almost just like a side piece in this book. He's just kind of there. Uh-huh. Just hanging out, chilling. I don't know if he plays.
And Obi-Wan just pops up a couple points here and there. Yoda's there a little bit. Oh, man. Okay, so we're currently listening to the audio version of the book. And Mace Windu, I love Mark.
I told you this with one of the other books. I love
Mark with all of my heart. But his Lando Calrissian and his Mace Windu are exactly the same. And every time Mace Windu talks, I hear Lando.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love it.
I love Mark, too.
Because then I just, like, it's, and then it's also Samuel L. Jackson at the same time. And I just, he's motherfucking Sith off my motherfucking starship.
I love that they're in the, like, when Asajj walks in, everyone's like worried about Mace flying off the handle. Everyone's like, oh boy, just give it a second. Mace needs to chill. Like everyone. And Yoda's like, everyone chill. Mm. We can talk to her. Again, showcasing Yoda's wisdom over the ages of how to deal with delicate situations. But it was just funny. Hey, we're going to take a quick break. We'll continue Bad Batch discussion in just a minute.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And we are back. So, man, it's like a lot happened, but it still feels like a precursor to much, much larger things. I love their new pet.
Oh, man.
Batchy? I forget what you called him.
Something, yeah.
Yeah.
That's cool. That's the Luka hound, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's
sick.
The interesting part was, you know, yes, Hemlock's logic and all of that was very true, but it's very
scientific.
It's cold and scientific.
Very cold. And that's the problem.
Who ended up being right?
Yeah. But I mean, and that's why Hemlock, unfortunately, is a great bad guy, because he tiptoes in the line of being right and then also being bad. So like, He's correct. He is right. All of his observations are sound. He's right. You know, it's like, you've domesticated this animal. It's lost its ability to fight for itself. It relies on you now to take care of it. What happens when you put it out in the wild? It's not going to be able to fend for itself. It's going to die, which is just right. 100% true. But it takes the humanity out of it. It takes the sense of hope. Like, and that is where the Empire fails. And that's where the Rebels always outshine them, is because they have hope. They believe in something that is outside the realms of possibility, in the possibility in the sense of numbers. Because, you know, if you live within this finite limit of just zeros and ones, you're not going to be able to exceed your limits. You're always going to be stuck. And so, you know, and I think that was one of the beautiful things of the lesson of that episode I was trying to tell, is like, you are more than what you seem.
Mm-hmm.
And you can do amazing things if you just try. And I think that was really, really cool.
I did love, too, how the Luka hounds that they sent after them ended up saving them because they went after that other weird bear beast with leaves on its back.
Another probably genetically engineered monster.
You think? I mean, I'm with you.
I don't know. In my head now, this planet is full of just Frankenstein's monsters.
I mean, Hemlock is a very Dr. Frankenstein character. Which is why I, you know, Project Necromancer, yes, but I still am not giving up on the origins of the Death Trooper.
Oh, no, the idea of him making Frankenstein's monsters in the sense of soldiers is 100% still on the table. I think Hemlock is the reason why it happens. I think what happens through this season, we will get the acknowledgement of the Death Trooper program. It will happen. I think Hemlock will move up to Minister of Science. Because the Emperor, this is not the only time we're going to see the Emperor. The Emperor is in the cover art for the poster art for the show. And so that tells me that he's going to hold a he's a key character in this season, whereas in other seasons he was kind of just a drop. You know, he's just like, oh, the Emperor's there, just reminds you that, like, hey, he's going to be important at some point. And now I think this season we will see more and more of the Emperor when it comes to things like the Death Trip, because he said at one point, he said all of these things would work for all of your glorious somethings or another. I would use, but that's not why I'm here today. He wanted to see the vault. So I think he is going to be intrigued by everything else that Hemlock is up to. Now that he has the full backing of the Emperor, he has access to everything. The Emperor said, whatever you need, I will give you to make sure that this is a success. So now Hemlock has access to unlimited funds. He has the entire, he's essentially the guy who builds the Death Star. What's his name? Director Krennic. He's essentially Director Krennic right now.
In science.
Just with, you know, biological science.
What's interesting to me too, from the Project Necromancer side, is, again, going back to EU and Legends, I've said this 100 times on the show, but even if you scientifically can create a clone shell that can handle the transfer of the midichlorians appropriately, which obviously they're going to have trouble with for the next 20 years.
Yep.
The force, the mysticism, the magic behind it is still the secret of that Eternal Emperor if you go back to the EU. And I really, really hope Dave just gives a slight nod at some point saying that, like, it's half science, half mysticism to get this done.
Oh, yeah.
And, like, just gives one small nod to that. Because the only thing we've ever had in Star Wars that where a Force user can transfer their consciousness between bodies is the Eternal Emperor, who we don't even know how far back it goes. We know his original origin, but we don't know how many times he's done it. Has done it for thousands of years by the time we meet him in the Old Republic game.
Yeah.
I don't know. I would just love that nod. Because even when you play KOTOR, which is 400 years before, they're talking about how no one's seen the Emperor in years. And
we also don't know what is in the vault. We assume that it's a high grade medical facility, right?
Yeah, I mean,
we don't know what's behind those doors. They are keeping that very safe and secret. Even when you go to episode 9 and you go to the cloning chamber, or where they're holding the vats of all that stuff, like, there were these cloaked acolytes.
Sith, I think, Eternal
would be the best way to call them. Yeah, and so they. I think it's fair to say that those guys could be in the vault.
They could be. The Sith Eternal, though, they live on Exegol. So my assumption in that is that Hemlock's research will eventually be transported to Exegol.
Sure.
And when along the way, it's Gideon that gets a hold of it, or Gideon is duplicating it. Those are the two scenarios.
I think what happens is Gideon gets a hold of the research at some point and wants to replicate it. And that's why Grogu is so important.
To Gideon, not the Emperor.
But to Gideon, not to the Emperor.
Right. Because for all we know, by that time, the Emperor's figured it out already or came close.
Because he
never actually succeeds.
He doesn't perfect it. Because we know that it is not perfected because of episodes 7, 8, and 9. Look at everything that we've seen leading up to that. Even at the very end, when we see him, he's being held together by machines because his body, that version of his body, was as close as you could get, but it was still not perfect. It was going to explode from all of the force energy. So I think it is fair to say that we know that Omega does not get captured. Omega is safe. And I think what happens is the Emperor tries to, like you said, it sends it to Exegol because he knows there's no way that we can perfect this. So we might as well just go with what we got.
Or I need more mysticism to get this done and less science.
Yeah, or the dark, or, like, you know, an acolyte. Maybe acolyte kind of, like, brings forth, like, the show, right? I mean, I've been thinking about this ever since, like, since this morning. I was, like, as I was watching this, I was like, okay, so in a perfect linear storytelling, you're going to be able to start at episode 1. Mm-hmm. And just go, or actually, you're going to start before that. You're going to start with High Republic stuff. You're going to start with the Young Jedi. You're going to start with Acolyte. You're going to start with all of that. You're going to go all the way through. Then you're going to get to episode 1, right? And then you're going to go all the way through episodes 1, 2, and 3. In between 1, 2, and 3, you're going to watch Clone Wars. You're going to watch The Bad Batch, right? And then you're going to go through all of these shows. How do you tie it all together? And so this has to tie into the Clone Wars, or it has to tie into the Mandalorian. It has to tie into episode 7, 8, 9. So that's kind of like where I'm getting at is we have to figure, like, now we get to start really connecting the dots and finishing this puzzle.
Well, 7, 8, 9 was a shit show. I love 7, 8, 9.
But they have to work. Show. They have to work with it. Exactly. They have to figure out how to close all of that up.
So while not intentional, I think Dave's 20-year, or, you know, if you write out like a 1-3-5 plan or something like that, Dave's 20-year goal is to make it so 7, 8, 9 is not so egregious to the timeline, and it all fits right. nicely in. So for you to say that there's connections to Acolyte, I wouldn't put it past them. There'll be connections. Again, my whole point of bringing up the Eternal Emperor is that when they decide to dive into the High Republic or Old Republic and make things canon, there's your link. We know
you already know about it.
We know about it. We know Palpatine studies ancient Sith of the past. We know that he studied Darth Bane. We know that he studied Darth and Dedu. We know he studied all these old ancient Sith. We know that from the hint from that book from Disney, the crazy story behind that when 9 released. We know that from a lot of the other media we've seen. The vaults in Battlefront that he hides all over the galaxy.
The vaults in Battlefront, Aftermath makes a great nod to those vaults as well.
So, and we know the Sith love to leave behind their knowledge for the next Sith to, you know, come find their ghost and you know, have that conversation with them. So, or find their holocron. We know that for a fact. They're all, that hubris of the Sith is like, you know, this thing, my whatever, has to live on. So
we also have to figure out how the Zepho get tied into all of this.
The Zepho before that, you know, obviously there's the break between the Zepho. You had the light. I think there's three types of Zepho. That's my theory, is there's light, dark, and neutral.
Yeah, no, well, I mean, like, it's kind of, that's pretty much, like, said in Survivor.
They never mention the neutral, but they always have a symbol of the one that's in the middle. No, but
they understand, they talk about how, like, they were, like, prosperous, and then this one Zepho shows up, and he's a badass. You know, he just, like, he's definitely dark side, you know, and he wants to take over, and he almost completely exterminates the Zepho.
The one who has his name on the temple.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then out of that comes the Zepho that are more aligned with light and dark. They live in the middle. So I think that's like that's what happens post pre-apocalyptic event, and they save themselves, is that they find out that there's a balance between the two. But we know that, like, the Zepho, that the big Brontosaurus looking thing from Horizon Zero Dawn shows up, and we're all sure that that's a Zepho
or Rakatan. That could be Rakatan technology too.
We know we've got Zepho shown off in Mandalorian. We've got a Zepho temple there. We've got Zepho all over Fallen Order. We've got Zepho mentioned in Jedi Survivor. Like, we have to somehow get an acknowledgement of this race and a story of it at some point.
Somebody's making Dawn of the Jedi, so I would assume.
Well, Dawn of the Jedi is the beginning of the timeline. That is where the Zepho story could live.
Right.
But somehow it's still tied into all of these other pieces of Star Wars storytelling that we've had.
Yeah, and that's my point, though, is that Palpatine's a historian, so.
Sure.
If the goal is to tell a story over 20 years, you're saying Acolyte could connect to it. I'm saying I agree with you, because we could go back and Palpatine's.
Right.
Well, it's the other way around. Palpatine finds the footprints of things that happened in the previous events and puts them all together. Mm-hmm. So while he will never perfect what the Eternal Emperor was able to do. He's obviously gleaning off of this character, and they would be foolish not to include him. And we do know that Dave is a fan of the expanded universe, and he loves to take elements of it and bring it into his version. Yeah. I mean, it's a match
because
made in heaven.
Said, he has said openly, he's like, what's the point of rewriting all of this stuff? Why reinvent the wheel when all of this stuff is here for us? It's already there. He's like, why do I need to rewrite this? He's like, let me just take the content and just fit it into the story that we have now and make it work.
Yep.
And that was so cool, because he's like, I'm not going to throw it away. Why would I throw away all of this hard work? It's there. I just need to figure out how to make it work seamlessly into the story that's already been written.
Old Republic, like, you know, we know from other texts that the Jedi Temple was sacked by the Sith in the Old Republic. Mm-hmm. We know that. We play it. Well, we don't play it in the game. It happens actually twice in that era. But, you know, we know that happens. So, again, there's these significant events and points along the way. We know the Rule of Two. We know Darth Bane. That's all canon. The novel may not be canon, but we know Darth Bane is. And if they ever made media around Darth Bane, you bet your ass they're going to put Darth Xana in it too. They can't not, like, there'd be a freaking riot. Like, I'd be pissed. That'd be one of the things that, like, that's a non-negotiation. You got to bring her back. You know, it's like the potential of bringing Mara Jade back. We constantly hear that Mara Jade will be brought back in something in between 7 and where we're at right now with Filoni versus Mandalorian stuff. So, and Mara Jade coming back would help explain Luke's hermitage, you know?
Yeah.
If she gets killed.
Why he's a sad old man sitting in the middle of
nowhere. Yeah, it's not just his nephew turning to the dark side. That's not enough for him. His freaking father did it already. Like, that's not enough. That's enough for Han and Leia to, like, become estranged and no longer, you know, want to be together, because losing a child to that would be devastating. But for Luke, no. His dad was on the dark side and he had to take him down. So it would, in my opinion...
Have you seen the meme where it's about Luke and it's like, my dad, he killed a bunch of kids and wiped out the entire Jedi Order, but I still love him. My nephew had a bad dream.
So I tried to kill him.
It's really pissed off Luke standing over him with a lightsaber. It was like, I could forgive my dad, but I couldn't forgive my nephew.
Who hadn't done anything yet.
He just had a really bad nightmare. Like, it's just so messed up. But again, I really hope that they fix, like, they have to somehow, again, they're going to have to find a way to make that moment make sense. Because in its current state,
I mean, I can explain it away right now, you know.
Sure, but it's the hilarity of it. But if you look at it in that light, that's the hilarity of it.
Hysterical.
Where it's not cohesive in a way that really makes sense, because it's so outside of Luke's character. You know, it's just like, it's so far outside. I mean, and I understand why he did it. There are so many reasons why.
You can joke it away and just say the Skywalkers love killing children.
Jesus. That is so dark.
But see, the serious reason is...
And their dads. Oh, my God. Ben kills his dad. Luke kills his. Essentially kills his dad. He beats the shit out of him.
It's in the bloodline. I mean, the real reason would be is that he, you know, thought he saw the writing on the wall and didn't want to, you know...
So put him his ass in exile. Holy God.
Nah, that's how Skywalkers deal right with problems.
We solve it with a
Whatever
lightsaber.
What shall we do?
I know.
Has Jen seen that one yet? Or
no, it's not as traumatizing. It's still one of my most popular clips.
Oh, God. I mean, like, you can explain all that away. But getting back to the point, like,
yeah,
to incorporate all of this and from the people that got to because a lot of people got to review the first 8 episodes. The tone stays mature through the first 8 episodes.
Good, because the cinematography for this was amazing. Yeah. It was like I was watching an animated version of Rogue One.
I told you.
The shots on, like, just the transporter coming in with the lightning storm, when they do the GoPro shot on the side of the ship and it's coming in, I love that. When it's like the lights flickering and it's dark and it's all these like really tight shots from a long perspective and it's tight the whole way, it really sets a tone and it's exciting. I like this kind of Star Wars because it really brings home, much like how Andor did. It captures almost that Band of Brother, the HBO show. It captures almost that sense of military storytelling where it's exciting. You're on the edge of your seat all the way through. Even during like the good times when you know it's going to be okay, you're still on the edge of like, what's going to happen? And I felt that all 3 episodes, even like what I feel like episode 2 could almost be a filler episode for what we did. And like, really, like, there wasn't a lot of story progression outside of like, okay, they went down to the planet, they found the thing, and that was about it. But all of that was mostly action, and I loved all of it. It was great.
I think I said it before, and I'll say this again. Be prepared for the first 8 episodes to be a banger. In the middle, it probably will lull a little bit. Again, I don't know. It's the final season. Dave might just go ham the entire time. He did it with Ahsoka. So just be prepared that there'll be a lull, but those last 4 episodes, I guarantee you, it's going to be like Clone Wars season 7, where it's so freaking significant that it's going to have a different title screen. It's going to be its own movie, which is essentially the last.
It's going to be just like Clone Wars.
Yep. The last four episodes of Clone Wars are its own movie, in my opinion. The Fall of Mandalore.
Good. Oh, my God.
Order 66. That was like nuts. I told you, when I watched it, my son, he cried. He's two episodes away from watching Tech die too, because he's trying to catch up, and I'm just like, he's going to ball. I have a feeling there might be a lull. I hope Dave just goes ham the whole time. I really does. But 16 episodes is a lot. But those last four.
Are we going to get multiple episodes dropped, or is this the only?
There's
a few times.
There's a whole schedule. Let me look it up for you. Bad Batch.
Well, while you're doing that, I just wanted to see like how people were rating Bad Batch. The Daily Beast, their article says Star Wars cartoon. The Bad Batch is still a so-so continuation of Clone Wars. Ouch.
Who said that?
The Daily Beast. This was written by Jesse Hassinger.
So Jesse doesn't like Clone Wars.
Jesse says no fan of the early 2000 Star Wars prequels could resist the career arc of Dave Filoni. A veteran of Nickelodeon's beloved Avatar, the animation director was plucked by George Lucas to work on the Clone Wars animated TV series. You keep going down. Okay, so this is the episode that don't trade as heavily in zippy action or side missions do have a compelling ongoing story hook. The Bad Batch pays increasing attention to the Empire's transition from a clone army to recruited and conscripted stormtroopers, right? When does he start, like, ripping it apart? Oh, here we go. The inimitable daftness of Lucas is the easiest way to describe what the show lacks. But either the sincere cleverness of Rian Johnson or the passionate rigor of Tony Gilroy would more than suffice. Instead, characters speak their feelings with a kind of expositional glumness.
Pause.
Even when they're supposed to be expressing important emotions.
Rian Johnson also wrote one of the worst stories in all of Star Wars. So right off the bat, I have an issue with this person.
I was The Last Jedi, and Tony Gilroy is Andor.
Andor's great. Not arguing Tony Gilroy.
Right.
I don't hate all of The Last Jedi. I've said this before, but my God, the Finn Rose thing, that's Rian Johnson.
Yeah, that was rough.
And that can go to hell 1,000 times over. So right there.
So forced.
Him calling him, what did he call him? What was the exact phrasing?
He said, okay, so the inimitable daftness of Lucas is the easiest way to describe what the show lacks, but either the sincere cleverness.
Yeah, no, out. Well, I'm done. I don't care about your you and I are not going to agree on this. Keep going. I just want to point that out.
Jesse just seems like I was trying to find the part where it showcased that this person doesn't really like is not a fan of this. It feels like he's just already not a fan of animated Star Wars as a whole. And that's fine.
Totally fine.
I think what happens is, for the most part, people see animation and they instantly think that it's designed for a 10-year-old. And that is so far outside the realm of what this is. This is Star Wars storytelling in a way that allows us to do things that would take time or are just impossible to pull off in a way that you can do it in animated.
It's also made so I can watch it with my 10-year-old and enjoy
it. I agree, but it also has so many underlying adult tones through the entirety
of
it.
Exactly, but nothing that's over the top.
It's just like SpongeBob. You know, that he talks about him coming from Avatar and Nickelodeon. Nickelodeon did an amazing job of making cartoon shows enjoyable for children and adults and separating that level of understanding of humor in a way that kids could watch it and their parents could laugh and the kids wouldn't understand why they're laughing. I had no idea that in Rocko's Modern Life, there's a sex phone operator scene. I had no idea. I went back and watched Rocko and even Rugrats. That's raunchy.
Or not Rugrats, Ren and Stimpy.
Yeah. Like, oh, okay, well, my parents never let me watch Ren and Stimpy, but hell. Cow and Chicken, Cat Dog, Angry Beavers. Like, Nickelodeon did a great job of allowing adults and children to enjoy shows. And so that's what Dave is doing. Dave has done it in a way where a Star Wars fan, new or old, can sit down with their kid, introduce them to Star Wars, and everyone has a great time.
Yeah.
I don't understand why we continue to fight this argument of it's a cartoon, I as an adult cannot like it.
And he also said Rian Johnson was clever in reference to Star Wars, so he lost me. Great. I love Knives Out. I'm not saying the man's not clever. I'm saying in reference to Star Wars, that is such a poor usage because that's the person that brought Rose and Finn to the forefront. And I'm sorry, that is the worst part of the sequel trilogy by far and away, next to Captain Phasma, who is the most misused person in the sequel trilogy.
Oh my God. What a throwaway.
I have the schedule for you, by the way.
Go for it.
So 4 and 5 are solo, 6 and 7 are together, 8 and 9 are solo, 10 and 11 are together, and then 12 to 15 are all solo. Which leads me to believe that 12 to 15 are your bangers. But if they're doubling up on 10 and 11, that also means to me that there's a reason they're now, part of the reason they're doubling up on episodes is because they want to wrap this up before May the 4th. I get that. The last episode's on May 1st. So it's also content release schedule, but I'm sure they purposefully picked certain episodes to double up on purpose, purposefully on purpose. Yes. But they doubled up on those episodes for a reason. So for all intents and purposes, Tim, judging by this, maybe the most you get on fillers this season is 4 episodes tops.
I'm okay with that. But this runs all the way till May, right?
May 1st is the series finale.
Oh my God.
We have content, Tim, for the next
2 weeks. We do have content.
Are you out of the country next week?
I will be. Yep.
So am I flying solo for the episode?
Yeah, but it'll be okay. It'll be a filler episode.
I hope so.
It'll be a filler.
I gotta go find a co-host. Damn, I don't have any.
There's also,
I'll see Ben can do it. He's like my only other friend.
Ben, you could. I mean, like, I've got some people that you know that would be willing to do an episode with you.
They have to be all up on the Bad Batch, though.
True. For those that aren't up on the Bad Batch but have been reading the Star Wars comics by Marvel, I need to get. There's 43 episodes. There's the newest one coming out. Looks really, really cool. I found this article over on comicbook.com. It says Star Wars preview shows Luke Skywalker meeting a forgotten Sith. Star Wars continues to deep dive into the years Luke Skywalker spent training as a Jedi between Empire Strikes Back and the Return of the Jedi. Luke has been on a quest to learn more about the mysteries of the Kyber crystals as he seeks to forge his new lightsaber. After losing the duel with Darth Vader, Luke's quest has taken him inside the dark heart of a Sith Kyber crystal, where he learned firsthand just how the Jedi's ancient enemy sacrifices their souls for the power of the dark side. This is so sick. During a visit to the Sith Kyber crystal, Luke discovered an entire realm inside of it, where the echo of a mysterious Sith Lord resided. A big threat of the galaxy, the AI entity, the Scourge. I have no idea what the Scourge is. Distracted Luke from his mission, but the preview for Marvel Comics Star Wars number 43 reveals that his return to the crystal realm is a trap. This is so sick. And the soul of that mysterious Sith is looking to do more with Luke than a simple chat. That's really cool. I have no idea who the Sith Lord is.
We watched the, I don't think we're supposed to. We read the preview on that months ago because I got an article on it, but now that either it's out or the art is out because I'm looking for it. I lost it though.
I'm looking at the art right now. So here's the synopsis.
He looks like an Ever-Ready.
Synopsis. He does. So here's the synopsis and preview for Star Wars number 43. A Sith in the mind's eye, Luke Skywalker is trapped deep behind enemy lines, hunted by a rogue Sith who sees the nascent Jedi as his chance at new ascendancy. How will Luke survive? And who will he be if he does? So this is you will never forget this moment, Jedi. So this is the Sith Lord speaking. You will never forget this moment, Jedi. No one leaves their pain behind. The easy moments in our lives blend together into a mushy, unmemorable pabulum. Our time without struggle means nothing in the end. But our injuries, our agonies, those we remember, they make us who we are.
Also,
we begin to learn.
That,
who is this guy? That, his lightsaber looks so sick.
That armor is Old Republic, if I've ever seen Old Republic armor. My God.
Yeah. Yeah, it's got a flowy cape. His lightsaber looks really cool.
Yeah, that's...
What is your name, Jedi? Luke Skywalker.
Sith warrior armor.
It's the same as it was the last time you came to see me, Skywalker. This place is what it needs to be. But I can imagine a version that is even better. Your pain and mine together could create that. You just need to see it. You just need more hurt. I'm sure we'll get there. We have all the time we need. And he just walks away from Luke in this prison cell. I want to read this so badly. He's already wearing his Return of the Jedi outfit. So we're already at that point. He's got the black leather on. He's got the black cape on. But this guy looks sick. He's pale. He's got long black hair.
Does he have four fingers?
Four fingers? No, he's
got... Look at the warrior weapon.
No, he's human. Five. He's got five. Yeah, he's humanoid. He looks sick, but they don't say who he is.
Apparently, that's the mystery.
That's the mystery. We did comic books for a little bit when the High Republic stuff's dropped, but there's a lot of lore going on. This AI entity, the Scourge, I want to learn more about that. I wonder if that is from Vader with... I wonder if that's Vader and his robot army that he was building in Dr. Aphra.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Also, both classic Battlefront games are coming to Switch.
I saw that. Someone tweeted me this morning about that. Mm-hmm. And they're the original Battlefront made by Pandemic Studios.
Yeah, the old ones.
Yeah.
If there's online capabilities, which I would assume there is based on what the game is, mm-hmm. I might play that a lot.
Yeah, no, they said that. Yeah, they said it's online capabilities. It has online servers for the Switch.
Because I like the new games, but no offense, those ones are...
Have fun playing that. That those graphics look like they came from 1995.
I don't care if it's fun. I still play what was I playing the other day? The Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game with Hunter.
Yeah, but that's classic. That is
so okay, is Battlefront.
There is it. No. 2D 16-bit is forever. When you get to the age of us experimenting with 3D polygons, that is hell.
I had a lot of fun.
We're talking about Lara Croft triangle boobs right now. Okay, that is the time period that we are in.
I had a lot of fun playing Jedi Academy on Switch.
Well, yeah.
I had a lot of fun playing the 360 version of Republic Commando again.
That stuff, like visually, that just doesn't bother you.
I mean, it's sharp edges and stuff, but whatever. If it's fun, it's fun.
I just... Was the storytelling enough? Like, okay, so for me,
Republic
I was
Commando,
okay with
yes.
playing...
Yes.
I'm okay with playing old games that have not acceptable graphics for 2024. I'm okay to play it. Like, I played Heavy Rain. Heavy Rain is visually terrible. Story, phenomenal.
Yes, agreed.
And that was okay. That was okay with me because the story hooked me.
It's also not a game where you really have to...
Battlefront, I just feel like that would just...
It's the Switch, though. You hold it in your hand. It's not like a full 4K experience you're looking for.
Yeah, but then I could just go play Star Wars Battlefront 2 on this thing.
You could. You could play it modded, too, which is even more fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Nice. How long till we get... Before we get out of here, how long till we get Star Wars mods for Helldivers?
Oh, my God. It's literally just... We've been talking about this. Everyone's like, man, this Star Wars game is cool. It's like, it's not a Star Wars game, but it could be. Like, I was doing IP pitches, and I was like, if you take Helldivers, and you put it in the Star Wars IP world. So what I would do is I would take the mechanics of Helldivers, and I would put it in Republic Commando. So you play Star Wars Republic Commando, but instead of playing as these Helldivers, you're playing as clones, and then you are going up against Separatist forces on certain planets, and you're pushing them back, and you could have this back and forth, you know, like, that would be great. And then let's say on the other side, like, if you wanted to... put in multiple factions, like, that totally could happen. You know, Lord of the Rings, I think, would work really, really well too. You're just, instead of going to multiple planets, you're just on one big... you're on Middle Earth, and then you're fighting for different sides of Middle Earth against the orcs and whatnot. There's so many, like, it is the right amount of content in a video game that allow... and also the right amount of sandbox, so it's pointing you in directions to do things, but it's allowing you to the freedom to do whatever you want. And so I think Star Wars... a Star Wars Helldiver-esque game could totally crush it, and I would love to see it.
Go back and watch Solo in right after he enlists in the battle scene before he gets thrown in the brig with Chewie. It's mm-hmm. Helldivers.
Yeah.
On one front
you're fighting the Separatist forces, you're fighting, you know, the Clankers, or you go like, you got to fight the Geonosians, but then also you have the Syndicates. Like, let's say like the Pike Syndicate is pushing on a certain sector, and, you know, they're trying to advance their smuggling cartel, and they're trying to push spice on these areas, and you got to fight the Pikes.
But
back.
You don't get to play the Jedi. Jedi's like an AI commander, and you're one of the clones.
Right, exactly. You never ever have access to a lightsaber. That might be a stratagem. You might be able to call in a drop ship that has a Jedi general, and he comes down and he fights off a group, and then he's like, I've got to get out of here and go fight on the other front, and he jumps on a troop carrier and then flies off. That could totally happen. It would do just fine.
Just saying.
So Star Wars, if you're listening, I know some of the people in the gaming division follow us. I know it. I know you listen. I see you on Twitter. So I'm just saying,
Tim, it might be time for our, the consulting arc we keep pushing. This is a golden opportunity.
I could, Kevin, we could totally make it happen. There's ideas up in the noodle. Just saying,
I know one person who's currently working on a Star Wars game that listens to the show that's probably going to DM me the second he hears the episode later today or tomorrow.
I'm just saying. All I'm saying is that like there is a lot of possible, like the idea of other companies taking Helldivers, and because of how successful it is, I really think we are going to end up seeing more PvE. It's the perfect game. There's
co-op.
No PvP.
I've been saying
it's
it for
PvE
years.
It's the PvE co-op. It is nice to play against other people. PvP is fun. The problem is that look at the content people are making. People are being friendly with each other. They're rallying each other. They're recruiting each other to join the cause and play this game and fight this video game. And how cool is that? How often do you see that in the video game industry? Because it's mostly driven by PvP.
I follow a TikTok account that literally is the morning Helldivers report. And she's like, good morning, divers. Last night on the front, we lost the planet in the, and she's going through the whole battle scenario and how many soldiers are fighting on one front and how we lost two planets to the automatons, but we gained one. But the term is we're pushing them back and that we need more soldiers. This works in Star Wars.
I've never, ever seen this in the video game industry ever.
The last co-op experience that I had doesn't even come close to the way everyone's working together that I enjoyed this much was Rainbow Six Vegas.
Sure.
That was the last pure co-op experience that I've had where I enjoyed playing with other people that much. Yes, I know people are going to bring up WoW and Destiny. It's not the same. It's not. This is
it does bring out a bit of Destiny in the sense of community, whereas like everyone was kind of fighting together to fight Oryx, or something like that, where everyone kind of felt like they were working together, but even within Destiny it was divided because of the PvP community.
It was always collect this amount of stuff as a community and then we'll unlock.
Right,
that's
right.
Not this is a threat.
No, we feel like all of our actions are really helping fight against the game. And so I've been so happy. It's been so cool to see like people outside of the gaming industry make content about Helldivers. Like I'm getting wives that are like, all right, if your husband or boyfriend is into Helldivers, here are the terms that you need to understand to make sure that you're connecting with them in a better way. Like I'm doing my part, it's silly, but it's so awesome to see.
You're nobody in the game. That's the key. You are just right. Another soldier in the army.
But you are that soldier. Right. You get to take on that role, and people role playing in chat is so funny.
Because
they feel like their soldier is also a part of it. They're just not fighting at that moment.
The Xbox people that are like, I feel like a civilian watching the battle unfold back on Super Earth. It's the funniest. And then the PlayStation people are like, we need the Spartans. Bring the Spartans in. So I have a feeling the game will come out on Xbox before the end of the year. And they're going to make a big deal about reinforcements.
Oh, yeah.
Uh-huh. But like so many of the Xbox people are like, we want to play, we want to join, we want to help. So it's going to be interesting. And obviously there's two gigantic sectors of space in the game that there's no attack coming from. So the more players we add, I have a feeling more threats might emerge from multiple fronts.
In Helldivers 1, there was a third faction.
Right.
They're kind of like the Protoss from StarCraft.
The water-based guys.
They're kind of ethereal. So it's going to be cool to see when they introduce them or how they introduce them. Cause it seems like they already have like a narrative that they're following. Like after week one, they talked about the automaton forces pushing, they are invading. So then we had to defend. So now we've got like 6 days left until the defense is over. So we have no idea what happens after that is done.
It feels like Eve, where Eve has real consequences for people's actions in the world. Except it's a full co-op experience. And like you can't do anything except fight, but it's just interesting to blend the narrative around everything. So it really feels, I don't know, it's just one of the best. I'm a PvE co-op person, so this feels good for someone like me who likes to raid in games and things like that. This is kind of like the creme de la creme, where even my insignificant, we'll play with Tim later today and Ben, our insignificant action on a planet does have ramification of like an echo wave across this galaxy they've created, which is just kind of cool. I just saying, mm-hmm. just kind of cool. But well, if you're not playing Helldivers or you're on Xbox, I'm sorry. you're just, it's so much fun with friends. Solo is a bit rough. It's doable, but it's not this like euphoric experience. When you're playing with friends, I would say it's probably one of the best experiences in gaming right now. But cool. So I have meetings starting in 20 minutes, so I'm going to go attend those, and then I'm going to dive into hell with Tim later.
And where can they find you, Kevin, when you're diving into hell?
Twitch.tv/KMagic or YouTube.com/KMagicYT. Either of those. TikTok, if you're into it, KMagic 101, not KMagic. God, I said my URL wrong.
That's why I was like, when did you get rid of the 101?
No, I can't. I can't. Someone else is squatting on KMagic. One of the old Twitch C-suite is squatting on Kevin, so I can't have anything I want.
Nice, good.
I could never get rid of this fucking name.
Same dude. As someone who's Darkness 429, I just, you know, I would love to be just Tim.
I was drunk. You just sound like an edgelord.
Yeah. I was 14 when I made
it. I couldn't log into my PlayStation account, so I just made a new one, and I was like, I'm going to teach gaming magic people 101. I'm drunk. Ugh. And now here I am. It's my goddamn brand. But yeah, you can check me out over there. And if you want to watch Tim, it's Darkness429, Twitch, YouTube, TikTok, anywhere else, Twitter, Facebook.
You'll find me.
Yeah, Darkness429, you know, his beautiful face comes up.
You'll be fine. Oh, stop it.
But yeah, if you want to dive into hell alongside our your brothers and, you know,
brothers in arms,
glorious nukes,
do your pods against
bugs and communist robots.
Do your part.
Feel free to join us. But this is Star Wars and Scotch. We are Star Wars and Scotch. You can find us all over at Star Wars and Scotch or Star Wars Scotch everywhere. Rate, review, subscribe. It helps us out immensely. But we thank you so much for hanging out with us. This Bad Batch journey is going to be a couple months, so we got lots to talk about coming up. I'm sure you'll hear more about Helldivers, and we got to figure out this comic because now I'm interested in this comic.
Yeah, I'm really, really intrigued, so I'm going to have to do some reading.
Yep, we're going to do some reading too. But until next time, make sure you're drinking King's Coast coffee, get your GCX tickets, and we will see you for next week. Well, I will see you. Tim will not be around.
BFK.
I will see you next week. Even if I'm solo, I'll come cover the episode for a bit just to make sure we cover our bases. But you have a great week, and Tim,
may the Force be with you.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications through LifeMD? LifeMD is now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.